Our last case this morning is 2020-1326, Beechwood City School District Board of Education versus Warrensville Heights City School District Board of Education. I apologize for taking you out of turn. That was my misread of the calendar. But for the appellant, Mr. Williams.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is Chris Williams. With me is Adrian Thompson. We represent the appellant, the Warrensville Heights City School District Board of Education. If I could please reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The 8th District Court of Appeals erred in finding that public school districts, pursuant to their limited ability to contract under 30 through 13.17, have the authority to permanently and irrevocably negotiate away tax dollars to another school district without such an agreement being submitted to, reviewed by, and approved by the State Board of Education as required under the plain text of 3311.06 and Administrative Code 3301-89-04. Rather, Ohio law is clear that Ohio's public school districts, as creatures of statute, have only those powers expressly granted them by the legislature. While the legislature has given boards of education the power to contract, that power is not absolute. Rather, it is constrained by the myriad of statutory protections and limitations created by the legislature with the express intent of protecting the public from rash, unwise, or misguided acts of locally elected public officials. One such protection is set forth under 3311.06 subsection I, which provides the only mechanism under Ohio law by which a public school district may agree to transfer its real property tax revenue to another public school district. Specifically, the plain text of 3311.06I provides that, quote, no transfer of school district territory or a division of funds in a deadness incident thereto shall be completed in any other manner other than is prescribed by this section. Under that statute.
Counsel, does this boil down to the meaning of the words incident thereto?
That's correct. The incident thereto means relating to. And we see that that was a critical error where the 8th District erred in its interpretation of the statute.
Doesn't it presume that a transfer of land has taken place?
We would disagree. In fact, we would see that there are two separate sections of subsection I of 3311.06. The first section, which states that the transfer of territory can only be done pursuant to the provisions of that statute, and the second, can divided by the word or a division of indebtedness or funds incident thereto, also must be approved by the State Board of Education. Because as in this case, and in every other case where this has come up, the only means by which the parties find themselves in a position, and Warrensville in particular here, find themselves in a position where they're negotiating whether or not to give up their tax revenue is because a territory transfer petition was filed with the State Board of Education.
But that's not really what the statute says, right? It says transfer of school district territory or division of funds and indebtedness incident thereto. So the indebtedness has to be incident thereto a transfer of school territory. So there's no transfer of school territory. It doesn't matter what incident thereto means.
We respectfully disagree, Your Honor. We see.
What do you think incident thereto modifies?
Incident thereto refers to the fact that because there was a request for transfer and that initiated.
Okay, well, incident thereto has to be incident thereto something. So incident thereto what?
Incident thereto the request to transfer, which.
But that language isn't in the statute. This is a request for transfer. It says transfer.
And in this instance, the transfer that was requested, that initiated the process of negotiations between the parties that led to the purported agreement, was what related to that request for the transfer of those funds.
It was related to a request, but it wasn't related to a transfer, was it?
We see that the petition for the transfer is what resulted in and relates to the fact that there's now an agreement that the Beechwood is attempting to enforce against Warrensville. The problem, of course, is that agreement was not approved by the State Board of Education. Nowhere else under Ohio law is there any power that provides for a school district to transfer irrevocably and permanently its real property tax revenue to another. This is the only statute that discusses that.
The transfer was the transfer to the municipality, not to the school district. It's land that was covered by the school district that was, because it was in a township, that was transferred to the municipality of Beechwood. So the transfer doesn't have to be to the school district, to the Beechwood school district. It was just transfer to a municipality, correct?
It was the annexation by the city of Beechwood,
right,
which resulted in Beechwood City School District seeking the transfer from Warrensville Heights City School District of territory. That's
right,
correct.
But Beechwood wasn't seeking, Beechwood School District wasn't seeking to pull this land into their school district, but to share in the revenues that came from it, correct? And then also provide programming for the kids at Warrensville, right?
Beechwood initiated this, the school district, Beechwood, initiated this process by filing a petition for transfer under 3311.06 with the Ohio Department of Education in 1990.
But the way it was resolved through mediation was that you didn't actually get land from the school district, you just shared in the revenues and were supposed to provide services, correct?
That was the terms of the agreement, which also expressly recognized that it resulted from the fact there had been a request for transfer that was filed by Beechwood. And as we see it, Justice Bruner, the funds that are split between, that have been sought to be split between the parties under that agreement, we see as part of that bundle of rights inherent with the territory.
But that's the incident there too then, correct?
Correct. The appellate court, in reviewing this matter, erred in determining that since the transfer could not occur under 3311.06 because there was no State Board of Education approval. The 8th District and Beechwood have argued that instead, a Board of Education's general power to contract under 3313.17 provides that right. However, again, as we stated, there is no specific authority under that statute, and rather that statute is a general statute with the courts in analyzing it have determined on numerous occasions is a limited scope of authority, constrained by the other statutes that exist under Title 33 and the other provisions of Ohio law on what a Board of Education's power is with respect to contracting. The reason, of course, is grounded in bedrock Ohio jurisprudence. The power to tax is a core right of a sovereign entity. For a public school district, which derives the majority of its funding from property taxes, the very existence and sustainability of a public school district is tied to its ability to generate sufficient funds from property taxation. The legislature, keenly aware that property taxation is the lifeblood of public schools, has legislatively built in many safeguards for school districts. For example, there's a 20-mil minimum floor of taxation set forth under Ohio law, which every school district receives from the real property in its territory, regardless of whether voters have rejected every levy put before them. School districts have the legislative right to challenge property valuation, reduction requests, and tax exemptions in order to protect their tax base. Boards of Education are legislatively prohibited in all but the narrowest of circumstances from unilaterally reducing voted upon tax levies, being required instead to seek a vote of the electorate in order to reduce previously voted upon millage. As such, the idea, as argued by Beechwood and sanctioned by the 8th District, that at any given time, three school board members could simply contract away, in perpetuity, some, most, or all of the property tax revenue received by the territory in that district is ludicrous. There is no provision under Ohio law other than that of the territory transfer provisions of 3311.06, which grants boards of education the ability to enter an agreement which would transfer tax revenue indefinitely to another school district. Beechwood cites none because there is none. Contrary to the determination of the 8th District in this matter, the general power to contract under 3313.17 does not authorize what Beechwood in its brief.
So, Councilor, let me interrupt you. So, you're saying here, so Warrensville and Beechwood school districts enter into this agreement whereby they would split tax revenue after a certain amount, but Warrensville is now saying we can't do it because it wasn't approved by the Board of Education.
Correct, the State Board of Education.
And that is, so it's not that, so Warrensville is saying, Warrensville say all along, we will do this as long as there was an understanding that the Board of Education would sanction this, or because it didn't happen, Warrensville is saying, well, we don't have to do it, or we can't do it, or we shouldn't do it.
So Warrensville is saying that they're not able to do it because the agreement that Beechwood relies upon is void, and it's void because the State Board of Education approval
that Beechwood relies upon but that Warrensville agreed to is void.
Is void, correct, because of the lack of State Board of Education approval.
There's also the issue of the fiscal certificate. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. There are two fiscal certificates which we contend should have been attached but which were not attached to the agreement. The first is what's called a 41 or 5705.41 certificate, and that provides that for every contract that calls for an expenditure of funds from a public body, any public body, it's required there be a certificate attached certifying that the funds are appropriated and available to cover the costs and expenses of that contract. No such certificate was attached here, and we feel that determines that the contract is void for two reasons. First, that certificate would have certified that the funds for paying the sharing of tax revenue were available, and without that, there can't be the payment of funds. The 8th District determined that the certificate was not required in that instance because this is a transfer of funds, because this, the county auditor could be involved. However, the county auditor is not a party to this contract. Again, you reach the fiscal certificate issue if you determine this is, in fact, a private contract between two parties. The only two parties are the school districts of Warrensville and Beechwood. There is no mechanism by which to force the county auditor, none under Ohio law, to say you are now going to divert a portion of Warrensville tax revenue to Beechwood. As such, the only way it gets diverted is the Warrensville treasurer writes a check. And if the Warrensville treasurer is going to write a check and he hasn't certified that the funds are available under section 41 or 5705.41, he could have a fine for recovery and would make that transaction void. Additionally, the agreement called for the establishment of educational programs. Those educational programs also cost money. There's also expenditures associated with them, paying for teachers, facilities, textbooks, etc. Again, no certification was provided for those expenditures either. So whether you look at either type of expenditure, the failure to have that certificate under that 41 certificate means it's a void agreement. Additionally, 5705.412 requires a certificate signed by the treasurer, superintendent, and board president that there are sufficient funds available for an education program as set forth under the school calendar for that fiscal year and the following fiscal year that can be derived from the taxes levied within that district. It doesn't look at expenditures. It looks at, are there sufficient funds available? That certificate, if not attached, also renders a contract void. In a matter like this, again, assuming that, in fact, you could privately contract away your tax revenue under this type of agreement, you would still have to have a 412 certificate attached indicating that, in fact, now that you've given away or contracted away all that tax revenue, you still can have sufficient funds for the educational programs in your district. Without that certificate, it's a void contract. I would like to reserve the balance of my time, if I could please, for rebuttal, if there's no further questions.
Well, how could any auditor, how could anyone get the certificate you're talking about?
The 412 or the...
Right. In this situation, I mean, a county auditor doesn't have the detail, couldn't issue that certificate.
So, Justice DeWine, the 412 certificate would be issued simply or solely by the treasurer, board president, and superintendent, certifying that there are sufficient funds for the educational program for that fiscal year and the succeeding fiscal year. It looks at whether or not, after whatever funds have been called to be paid for under that contract, that there still be sufficient funds.
I mean, this is a contract that goes into the future that you don't know when there may have to be funds paid over, if ever. I don't know how anyone could do a certification for that.
So the uncertainty of the precise nature of the expenditure does not invalidate the requirement for a certificate. A good example would be any contract we hire which requires an indemnification provision. Indemnity, of course, is a promise to pay if certain events occur. Usually, you know, if you get sued and someone claims that the party who's protected by the indemnification provision is going to be subject to damages, they may want the other party in the contract to indemnify them. You don't know at the time what the damages are, what the attorney's fees might be, anything like that. But that the Ohio Attorney General, in numerous opinions, has determined that indemnification provision still must have a certificate under 5705.41, and if it meets the qualifications under 5705.412, in order for that contract to be valid. We would see the obligation similar here as would be in one of those indemnification provisions. While the precise dollar amount may not be known, that doesn't make it unnecessary to have those certificates as required under Ohio law. I may reserve the balance of my time if there's no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Wilson?
Good morning. Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Holly Marie Wilson. I'm here today on behalf of the Beechwood City School District Board of Education, arguing in favor of enforcing a contract that it took the parties 7 years to negotiate. This was not a run-of-the-mill contract. This was not a momentary decision. This involved years of negotiation, the engagement of counsel, and two mediations with a retired federal judge with a wealth of educational law supporting the decision. On May 12, 1997, the superintendents, the treasurers, and the school board presidents for both Beechwood and Warrensville agreed to enter into a contract which they deemed fair and equitable that would, quote, clearly be in the best interest of both school districts.
So why didn't the State Board of Education approve the contract?
Because it was not necessary for the State Board to approve the contract. In fact, in the settlement agreement itself, the parties withdrew themselves from the process. Beechwood was required to withdraw its request for the transfer territory. So there was no need, there was no transfer territory. The parties voluntarily removed themselves from the confines of the statute.
Well, how does it, I guess, help me understand how it makes sense that the Board of Education and the General Assembly, in promulgating the statute, would want to oversee the transfer of property or funds or indebtedness when it related to that only if it relates to property actually being moved over, wouldn't relate to property, but wouldn't relate to funds.
Well, I think
you understand my position.
I think I do, Your Honor.
Or here, I'm the one asking.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know Justice O'Connor and Chief Justice and I are often this again, but
there are three answers to your question. The first rests with the plain language of the statute. So when we look at the statute, it says that it's limited to the transfer of territory. Specifically, subsection D. Quote, districts involved in negotiations under such rules may agree to share revenues from the property included in the territory to be transferred. Section G. Quote, in the event territory is transferred from one school district to another, an equitable division of funds and indebtedness between the districts involved shall be made under the supervision of the State Board of Education. That's the language of the statute. Then we look at the legislative intent, which this court's already looked at, and it did so in Barchi versus State Board of Education. In that case, this court noted that the express legislative intent underlying this statute, 3311.06, concern the fact that school district boundaries are a matter of great concern to the public, and the legislature wished to curb the uncertainty over the stability of school district boundaries, thereby affording parents of school-aged children certainty in if they're buying property, they know what school district their children are going to attend.
All the more reason, then, why wouldn't this be subject to Board of Education approval?
Because we're not changing any boundaries. We're not transferring any territory.
But you're transferring funds from one school district to another.
Well, we're sharing the division of funds. The parties agreed to share the division of funds. And they did that again through their settlement agreement, in which they agreed that the county auditor and the county treasurer shall be jointly requested by the parties to calculate and distribute revenues in each year as provided by the agreement. It's exactly what the taxing authorities do now. They collect taxes for the entirety of the county. They then distribute those funds in accordance to previously agreed to allocations. The only thing this contract did was ask or agree that the parties would ask the contracting authorities to change
pursuing
the distribution. So we're talking about the collection of taxes. We're not talking about the expenditure of funds.
But doesn't that have to do with the school board's overarching role of protecting children. The children come ahead of the school districts. And in looking at what its enabling and mission is, why wouldn't the school board have to look at funds for kids in one district being used by kids in another district?
Well, I think the parties did look at this. They looked at
the Department of Education, not the parties.
There's no statute that requires that analysis. And it's certainly not 3311.06, which begs the question and applies to, while this is not a school district funding case, we still have a line of cases from this court that discuss school funding issues. And what this court has repeatedly held is that if action needs to be taken, it is for the legislature to enact a remedy.
So are there no limits then on a school board's ability to give away future tax dollars? I mean, say you're a school board that wasn't real worried about the future, but they wanted to have a really good school when they were there, and good football team and everything, and they said, okay, neighboring school district, you give us $2 million for the next 5 years, and we'll give you 50% of our tax revenues for the 15 years after that, after we're long gone. That'd be okay?
There very well may be a statute that says that's not okay. But that statute's not 3311.02.
The state school board would have no role then.
But with 3311.06, Division I, and this goes back to Justice Donnelly's initial question, says no transfer of school district territory or division of funds and indebtedness incident thereto pursuant to the annexation of territory to a city or village shall be completed in any other manner than prescribed by this section. And this section deals with the Board of Education approving the contract. I mean, I'm reading Division I, and he started out with, Justice Donnelly started out with incident there too. So how do we say Division I doesn't pull this back into 3311.06?
Because as found by the 8th District, incident there to what? There to the transfer of property. Now, while you quoted subsection I, we can also look for further support in subsection G, which also talks about funds and indebtedness between the districts. But it links that to in the event territory is transferred. We don't have that qualifying event.
But Division I doesn't leave it that way. Division I has a lot of ors in there. No transfer of school district territory or division of funds and indebtedness incident thereto. And the annexation that they're talking about is to a city or village, and that's exactly what happened here. Beechwood annexed land in a township that is in the school district of Warrensville, and while the land didn't go into the Beechwood school district, incident to that transfer to the municipality, there was essentially a division of funds. And what am I missing?
I think we're conflating two statutes, or two statutory schemes, one being a municipality's ability to annex property. That's a completely separate subsection, having nothing to do with what brings us here today. There was an annexation. That's agreed. A portion of the property that was annexed resided within the boundaries of the Warrensville Heights School District. Even though we have that municipal annexation, those children who live within that property, that defined area, still attend Warrensville District Schools. They're actually exempt from this entire agreement because the only sharing of revenue had to do with commercial revenue and not residential or agricultural. Admittedly, there's not a lot of agricultural land, but those children remained with Warrensville City Schools. So there was no question as to the territory or the boundary of the school district. When we look at 3311.06, that doesn't talk about the statutory construction or the rules that are in place for municipal annexation. We're now talking about school district, territory annexation, which is a completely different animal. New statute, new regulations, new provisions.
Sure, but this land with good commercial property on it, which is great revenue for schools, now belongs to Beechwood, but Warrensville Heights still has to educate those children without that revenue. So incident to this transfer, there's a sharing of funds, and I'm not understanding why Division I doesn't incorporate this when it specifically says this and says that you have to use this method, which again, includes taking it to the Board of Education.
And again, Your Honor, it's incident there to the transfer of property. Without okay. the school district transfer of territory, we fall completely outside this statute. The Board of Education did not have to bless the annexation agreement, and they did not have to bless this agreement because there was no transfer of territory, which every provision in this statute talks about the transfer of territory and the changing of school boundaries.
So Beechwood did apply to have this land brought into the school district, but as a result of the mediation with Judge Duncan, what they worked out was no transfer of territory, we'll share the funds, we'll share some programs, correct?
Well, it was induced to withdraw its request.
So had it not withdrawn its request and the transfer had happened, then it would get all of the tax revenue. It wouldn't be sharing that portion of the transfer property.
70%. Yeah, absolutely. They left the lion's share with Warrensville Heights. There's no doubt about that. They took a very small piece of the pie, and they took that piece 20-some years later. There is absolutely no dispute that this was a windfall for Warrensville Heights. They benefited from years of Beechwood's development of that property and from the millions of dollars Beechwood pumped into that property. They never said a word about this contract not being enforceable. They never said anything about state board approval. In fact, they agreed the application would be withdrawn, so there could be no state board approval.
So what's the trigger now?
The property, back in 1997, the parties agreed that none of the revenue sharing provisions would begin until the property reached $22 plus million.
Right.
And that has happened. That triggered. Beechwood said, okay, we're at that point. Start giving us our share.
That happened in 2013.
And they've not gotten their share?
No,
since then. And then there's been all these negotiations and ongoing.
Yes, ma'am.
And Warrensville said, I'll paraphrase, we would love to give you your share if the Board of Education had approved this, but since the board did not approve it, we are prohibited.
Correct.
That's their side. Okay.
And the 8th District correctly determined that there was no need for state board approval because the parties removed themselves from the confines of the statute.
Okay.
Could you discuss the fiscal certificate issue?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The purpose of the fiscal certificate statutes is very simple. To ensure that districts can afford their financial obligations, it's not served by certifying an agreement to share future revenues. When this contract was drafted in 1997, there was absolutely nothing to certify. No one knew when the triggering events were going to occur, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years. You also did not know exactly how much money needed to be certified, because these are all unknowns for many, many years. To require a fiscal certificate under these facts would be a futility. There is no fiscal officer who could, in any good faith, sign any certification saying, at some point in the future, we don't know when, we agree to share some amount of money, we don't know how much. And again, those certifications are for money in the general fund. What does the school district have right now to work with? We're talking about the sharing of tax, money coming into the districts, not money going out.
So what about the shared programming? They seem to say that the fiscal certificate would be required for the shared programming. The fiscal certificate would need to be issued by the treasurer of Beechwood City Schools and signed by the superintendent. Can you address that?
I can. Admittedly, this is a new argument. It was not briefed below. But the argument being that these school districts are going to share programs. There's no evidence in the record as to how much these programs would have cost. Did they meet the fiscal minimums? Because there are minimums here. We don't know. That's not in the record. There are the thresholds required. One of the programs, I believe, had to do with interesting students in the medical profession. You know, we don't know how much those programs cost, so we can't tell you there should have been a certificate, there should not have been a certificate.
So based on case law, for instance, you know, not using a physical certificate to purchase propane, the case law has been that the contract, the underlying contract, is void without that physical certificate. And so I think what Warrensville Heights is saying is that without the physical certificate, the agreement to share the revenues and to share the programming is void without it. And I take it you don't agree with that.
Again, Your Honor, I believe there's three arguments. One, the plain language of the statute, which requires an expenditure. Secondly, we have to have an expenditure that reaches a certain threshold. We don't know that any of these programs would have met that certain threshold. And thirdly, we're talking about money coming into the districts from tax revenue, not the spending of money. This is not simply a contract to purchase propane. This is a very different type of contract, one that falls outside the confines of the fiscal certificate requirement for all those reasons.
Thank you.
Counsel, you've used your time.
Excuse me, ma'am.
You've used your time.
Thank you all. We ask that you please deny the propositions.
Thank you. Counsel, you have a minute left.
Counselor, I know you only have a brief period of time, but let me just ask you. So if we found that the Court of Appeals was correct and we should affirm the decision and the Board of Education approval is not required, then you're okay because now you're not violating anything, right?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. We would still have the issue that there's been no fiscal certificate issued. And without a fiscal certificate, the Treasurer who's here today would have to be concerned whether or not there'd be a finding for recovery if he were to make payments under this contract. So while you know the court certainly can rule the way it will, that would be an issue for us, yes.
Okay.
With respect, briefly, then, to some of the points made, there is an exception under 3311.06, subsection F, dealing how urban school districts can enter into these types of agreements without State Board of Education approval. We detail that in our brief, but suffice to say, the fact that there is an exception for urban school districts to do that and no other type of school district, urban school district being a district with more than 20,000 students, is under statutory construction, certainly demonstrates that Warrensville and Beechwood did not have the ability to enter into that type of agreement. With respect to the fiscal
certificate. But Warrensville did, right?
The distinction being urban school districts can do it without State Board of Education approval, we would submit that Warrensville and Beechwood would need State Board of Education approval for it to be a valid agreement.
And did Warrensville's position all along from the time the agreement was made?
So I can certainly speak to their position from 2013 and from the time that I've been involved. There's not been anything in discovery to talk about whether or not that had been a position earlier.
So was there a discussion that, well, we can do this agreement, but Board of Education approval is needed, so let's seek approval?
That's an obligation that both parties to the agreement had an obligation to make sure occurred, not just Warrensville. Beechwood similarly was required to submit that any approved agreement to the State Board of Education for approval. Ohio law is clear that any party contracting with a public body such as a Board of Education.
So Warrensville or Beechwood could have done it.
Correct.
And neither party did it.
Correct. And in this instance, for example, to follow the hypothetical's conclude to its conclusion, let's say Beechwood had submitted it and Warrensville said, no, you know what, we're not going to submit it. What would happen in that instance would instead the matter go back to the State Board of Education for a hearing officer to be appointed and a hearing to be conducted on whether or not the territory is to transfer. Territory, which I might add, has no residential property in it.
But the territory transfer was off the was negotiated off the table.
But if the parties ultimately didn't consummate this agreement by submitting it to the State Board of Education for their approval, Beechwood still would have a petition for territory transfer pending. And under Ohio law, the State Department of Education would appoint a hearing officer to evaluate, at the time, 17 factors. Now it's been expanded to 25 factors to look at whether the territory should transfer, including looking at, for example, whether this was a tax grab or not.
Okay. So, I'll let you say point.
Excuse me. So Warrensville was operating under this agreement, this void agreement as you characterize it, and only until the triggering event occurred, surprised the other party by saying it was void?
Respectfully, no. I would not characterize as surprising the other party. Public school districts, like many public entities, have turnover of their personnel. There have been a variety of superintendents, treasurers, board members elected to four-year terms. This is not a situation where there's been a unity of members and administrative officers within the district over that period of time. Rather, we would submit that this is a situation that, as it developed and as it got looked at, ensuring that there's compliance with the law, we discover that, in fact, the law was not complied with when they entered into the when they attempted to enter into the agreement back in 1997.
So, counsel, if this is set aside, Beechwood has every right, I guess, to petition to have this district territory then move to the. From Warrensville Heights district to Beechwood district, correct?
Absolutely.
And I'm presuming you must feel very confident that that wouldn't happen. Otherwise, this contract seems like a better deal for Warrensville.
I personally I don't want to talk about my confidence, but I believe an examination of the factors under Ohio law, including looking at whether this is a tax grab, which we certainly feel that it is, would weigh in favor of the State Board of Education not approving ultimately a transfer of this territory.
Thank you.
Unless there are further questions, we would respectfully request that this court reverse the determination of the 8th Appellate District, reinstate the trial court's dismissal of the complaint.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.